Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's so good to be with you today as we continue along in the Gospels. Today we're in John chapter 6. Remember in our last meeting, as we gathered together, we saw the death of John the Baptist. And now we read in verse number 1, after these things, the death of John the Baptist, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. When you look at your Bible maps in the back of your Bible, you'll see at different spots, you'll see the sea called the Sea of Galilee, or other maps, you'll see it called the Sea of Tiberias. They're really, it's the same body of water. It's just called by different people, different names. He says, then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. As Jesus continues to move about the area of Galilee, he was being used in such a tremendous ways that was drawn such attention upon his life, as he would see people who are sick or hurting, and he was touching and he was healing so many of them. And Jesus went up to the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Of course, this is one of the great feasts of the Jewish, on the Jewish calendars. They would all go down to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. He says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread, and these may eat? And this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, it's interesting here that it brings out here that Jesus was testing his disciples, trying to draw out of their lives faith, and really for them to be able to see what they're putting their faith in the area of growth that he was trying to get them to grow in. You know, we too are tested by God, and, you know, God uses different circumstances, different areas within our life to see if we would believe. You know, I see so often when I'm talking to various people, and when they're going through a difficult time or hard time, they want to blame it on the devil and say, I'm going through persecution. Pray for me, brother. Well, that might be true, or might be a testing of God. See, a lot of times circumstances get tough because God's at work. I remember a few folks from the fellowship here the last year where they had lost their jobs, or their, you know, circumstances had changed. And lo and behold, they had to move. Both of them had to move out of states, these two different situations. And now they're involved in other churches across the country, and God is using them in ministry. Was that persecution of the devil, or was that God leading them? And was God testing their faith? Well, a lot of times we don't know. But one thing that we do know is that God never, ever condemns. If you're going through a time of trialing where you're feeling beat up and feeling condemned, that's the devil at work. Satan is the author of lies. He's the author of confusion. And he is the one who condemns. God builds up. He strengthens us. And he tests us to make sure, tries us, you know, that we could tell that who and what we're doing, that we're putting our faith in him. James says, count it all joy when you go through various trials. He says it should be a good thing that when we realize as we're going through these trials, as he goes on, that we need to allow these trials, or allow patience as we're going through it. Let it have its perfect work. Let it continue to grow. Because trial says that the tendency to have our lives to grow and put our faith more in him. Because in our growth and our patience now becoming perfect, entire, lacking nothing. Otherwise, he says, as we go through these trials, our faith is going to grow, and our life is going to be a place of a completeness where we're not going to be lacking anything because we're putting our faith in God. So testing and trials are part of the process that God uses within our lives in order that we might grow thereby. And so we see this going on with Philip. And as we go on here, as he says that, In verse 7, Philip answered and said, 200 denarios worth of bread is not sufficient for them, and every one of them may have a little. Otherwise, there might be kids, their wives, and everybody else. He says, oh my goodness, we don't have enough. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Isn't that the truth? When you look at the human resources, the human ability, you look at it and say, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? And we look at it as an impossibility. But it's amazing. With God, all things are possible. The other day, I was praying about taking a little venture of faith. And I was looking at my resources and I go, oh my goodness, it's not going to happen. But what I did is I committed it to the Lord. And next thing I knew, God not only gave me the rest and the peace, this is what he wants me to do, but he gave me the ability and the resources and everything to do it. God was just wanting me to trust him. But when we look at 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, we're looking at the natural. And through the eyes of the natural, so often faith isn't associated. God wants us to look through the eyes of the spiritual, see through his eyes. Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. And there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in numbers by 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. And the disciples, those who were sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. And so when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments and the remains so there's nothing is lost. So this idea that they were filled actually means in original language, they were glutton. They were so full. It's like a Thanksgiving feast. Oh, you know that feeling where it's just, oh, I can't eat another bite. See, God gives us exceedingly abundantly, doesn't he? He fills our life. And so with his bread and his fish, all those people who had sat down on that hill, they were served such a great feast, and they were all were filled. And so Jesus told them to gather up the remains. He says, therefore, they gathered them up and filled up 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. And so here, after they had their stomach full, they were hungry. And all these people had seen Jesus doing all these miracles of healing people. But now that their stomach was full, they're saying, man, this man must be a prophet. I think it's kind of comical to see the different ways, the things that all of a sudden their spiritual eyes start opening up. But this case, when their stomach was full, they were able to say, hey, this had to be a work of God. He says, therefore, when Jesus perceived they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself. So we see a little drama behind the scenes here. All these people, the 5,000 men, the women, and the children, and probably something like over 12,000 people sitting on this hill. And they're now that their stomach is full, they've seen the miracles of Jesus, and they say, we need this man to be our leader. We need him to be our king. But you know, the thing is so amazing about Jesus in the scriptures. In Daniel chapter 9, certainly, later on, we will discover that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But Jesus, his first time he came to this earth, in Daniel chapter 9, it speaks there in this marvelous prophecy how Jesus is going to be cut off, but not for himself. See, the purpose of Jesus coming here in our story right now was not to become an earthly king, but rather to be the sacrifice, to be that lamb that was sacrificed there on the altar of the cross for our lives, in order that we might have access to God, in order that we might have fellowship with Him. And so that beautiful, perfect timing that Daniel chapter 9 prophesies about, and we read there in the book of Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2 about the timing where Jesus Christ would come triumphantly through the gates there in Jerusalem as they finally cry out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," that wonderful day that he comes riding in on the donkey. But yet, this isn't the time for that, is it? And so Jesus exits out the back door, per se, and he heads off to a solitary place to pray there on the mountain. What a marvelous story. What an exciting time. I'm hoping you're enjoying this. I love studying God's Word with you, reading it together. And so until next time, this is Pastor Terry. May God richly bless you. Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.